This is another episode of Stand Up Comedy, your host and MC, celebrating 40 plus years on the fringe of show business. Stories, interviews, and comedy sets from the famous and not so famous. Here's your host and MC, Scott Edwards.
Hi, and welcome to this week's show. We have another great lineup of stand-up comedy for you. Closing the show, one of my personal favorites, a very funny comedian that got her start at my club back in the early 80s, Paula Poundstone. And coming up before her, we have the very funny and good friend, Milt Abel. You've heard him many times on the podcast, one of my personal favorites, Milt Abel. Getting things warmed up for him, quite the professional ventriloquist, Jay Johnson. You remember him from the TV show Soap. I met him through Harry Anderson, and here's a short set with his featured character, Darwin. And right now, to start things off, let's kick off the comedy with a very talented comic. He's from the East Coast. He's a Jewish comic that's worked all over the country, lots of TV. Right now, he's doing a one-man show, so keep an eye out. It may be coming to a town near you. But let's enjoy some comedy from the very funny Peter Fogel.
Gotta be careful going to Vegas, please. Be careful. I was getting ready to perform on stage in this casino. This lunatic comes up to me, starts complaining, going, "Man, I lost so much money in this machine, I ain't won nothing." I looked at him, I go, "It's a payphone." Get a grip, Sparky, huh? Here's a dollar, play the change machine, break even. Then I had to perform in Ensenada. Ensenada. Ever been to Ensenada, Mexico? You know what Ensenada means? Ensa, lots of nada, nothing. I had to perform in an elderly nude beach. Elderly nude beach. 78-year-old naked woman comes up to me after my show and goes, "What do you think of my birthday suit?" I go, "Needs a little ironing." I like performing around the country. I meet lunatics wherever I go. Never fails, no matter where I perform. There's always one guy that comes up to me after my show who thinks he and I are neighbors. "You're from L.A.?" I go, "Yes, I am." He goes, "Sacramento." "Excuse me, L.A., Sacramento." "I don't think L.A. is about 6 hours from Sacramento. I'm surprised I don't get your mail by mistake." "This is the same guy you meet in a mental institution. Paranoid, schizophrenic, you're kidding, psychotic." "You hear voices in your head, me too. Unbelievable. You're so lucky to be living in this town, boy. I was in Chicago. I've been around a lot, actually. And I wasn't really in Chicago last week. Just let's say, for the next joke, I was in Chicago. Joke's 4 years old. All right, let's just say I was in Chicago. Nothing phases people in the Midwest during the winter. Nothing phases them. It's like 32 below zero, the wind chill factor. These people are outside having conversations. "You know, Frank, you know what the problem with the economy is?" "Oh, my ear broke." "Sweet Jesus, help me find my lobe, huh?" "I don't care about the lobe. I had a diamond studded earring I'd like back." "You are a terrific audience, and I'm very funny, so it works out well." "Because if I was good and you sucked, I feel horrible." "I didn't tell Steve tonight. I wanted to save it for her, but I just became a single father myself. I'm really excited. I just wanted to share that. I adopted a girl, an orphan from another country. Thank you. A 20-year-old Swedish exchange student." Quick impression. Arnold Schwarzenegger in every movie trying to save someone who's falling off a cliff or out of a plane. Schwarzenegger does this every movie. Ready? "Give me your hand." Thank you. I think comics should be like singers. I think they should introduce jokes like they introduce songs. Wouldn't that be great? Like, "Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Snow coming to do is one of my favorites. I wrote this back in the year, early part of 2000. It was very funny then, and I think it'll be just as funny now." And it goes something like this. Very clever. "Just broke up my Asian girlfriend. Too high maintenance, but I should have known by her name. Cha-ching." "Thank you, you're beautiful. Try the VO. Thank you." See, I've given up trying to find the right woman in America. I'm going to go to a third world country. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Thailand. I'm going to find me a hot-looking 70-year-old Thai chick. Because they're low maintenance over there. They are. I can impress a woman over there. Oh, yeah, I got the rich American boyfriend. Oh, yeah, he got shoes. Food. He's got roof on house. Took me a very expensive American restaurant. Sizzler. Thank you, you're beautiful. Thank you very much. Oh, we're all clueless men. I don't know. I'm at that age now. I should just settle down and have my first divorce. That's right. I'm going to get a little moody in L.A. In fact, I think women in general should just wear, like, T-shirts with disclaimers across them. Just like airline ticket has little disclaimers. So you come home, there's your wife, your girlfriend, you know exactly what's going on in her mind. You go, there it is across the chest. My feelings towards you are subject to change without notice. Void, we're prohibited. We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. And my favorite, past performance is not indicative of future results. Five punchlines. Five punchlines. Count them, folks. Five.
That was Peter Fogel, ladies and gentlemen. Very talented Jewish comic. Keep an eye out for his one-man show as it still is touring around the country. And right now, a special treat. A young man that I met through Harry Anderson, comic magician you may remember from Night Court, Jay Johnson. He was a regular on the TV show Soap, very funny guy, world-class ventriloquist, and in this particular piece, one of my favorites, he has this monkey friend, Darwin. It is kind of a visual bit, but I think you'll enjoy the patter between Jay and Darwin. So ladies and gentlemen, here's a little ventriloquism by the very funny and talented Jay Johnson.
Not as intelligent as people think. Actually, the monkey has a brain capacity of a five-year-old child. The human brain, of course, is five times larger. We are into esoteric concepts, the radical reason. Of course, the monkey is simply into instinctive behavior and seems to do what it sees others doing. The fact is that one day the sound that a monkey makes actually is a primitive form of language, and it is a monosyllabic language. Actually, we have 48 phonemes. The monkey simply has as one, and they can actually communicate with that. They can actually communicate, and one day that will turn into a language. It'll take about a million years. We don't have time to wait on that tonight, but oh yeah. Thank you. You can talk.
Good, yeah. You thinking that all by yourself with that great big brain?
Good human. No, boy. I'm an animal.
All right. What is your name,
huh?
What is your name?
Darwin.
That's an interesting name. How'd you get that? Just evolved?
That's a monkey joke.
All right.
I'm a monkey.
All right.
Show business. I'm an animal.
Okay.
My whole family's in show business. You ought to see my family tree.
Most of the family's still there.
That's a monkey joke.
All right. I guess you'd like to be more like a human being.
What?
I guess you'd like to be more like a human being.
No way, man. Take me 8 hours just to shave. That's a human joke.
We got it.
I am a singing monkey. I sing, therefore I am.
Intellectual joke, anyway.
Anyway, I'm gonna sing a song now in my native tongue. You will not understand the words because I will say in my native tongue, so I'll act it out so even you children can understand. Give me that song in the key of chimpanzee.
Oh,
Thank you, Harry.
All right.
I love that. The character he brings to life, Darwin, is just hilarious. And I'm sorry you can't see it, but he's darting in and out of the microphone and jumping up and down. And just a talented ventriloquist. Jay Johnson was always fun to work with. And getting a chance to work with him and Harry Anderson together was just such a treat. Hey, we're going to keep the comedy going with one of my personal favorites. This gentleman's been doing comedy for 40 years. He is one of the best in the business. Right now, he's doing a lot of corporates. He's been seen a lot on TV. But sit back and enjoy the stand-up comedy of my good friend, Milt Abel.
I know I'm no longer a kid because I grunt a lot now. Have you noticed? You grunt more as you get older. On more occasions. I mean, kids grunt too, but you never see a six-year-old kid grunt to pick something up. Are those my marbles? Oh, I'm never dropping those again. Jeez, I think I pulled a muscle playing tag this morning. I remember to warm up. I'm not five anymore. Gosh, you know, after breakfast, I just want to take a nap. No, leave those cartoons on. I'm watching that. Kids have great supper breakfast.
Kids have great supper breakfast. Captain Crunch, have anybody tried Captain Crunch recently? It rips the roof of your mouth. If it's not prepared right, you can die from it. It's a lot like pufferfish.
I've been a couple
of pumps. And the roof of my mouth. What the heck? They're a thin, they move. The roof of my mouth. And the thing out.
Have you been out on deck? By the way, I'm supposed to announce the cap. It is very windy on deck. The captain is issuing an official toupee warning. If you've lost your hair, you could lose it again. So. A little late on a couple of you, but...
Speed, who are you? I did a real wild private party last month. It was a company picnic for the Witness Protection Program. Everybody had name tags on, but there's nothing written on them. I made the mistake of asking, who made the potato salad? We don't know.
Once you've flown first class, you just spoiled, aren't you? There's no room in coach. The guy in front of you moves the seat back in coach. That's right. And if you have the middle seat, you lose your upper arms for the entire flight. Right? This is all you can do in coach, right here. Yes, I'll have a drink, but you have to toss it from the aisle. I can't even. Oh, I caught it. Lucky me. All right. I can't get it to my mouth. I need a straw! You got your headphones on, trying to enjoy the music? YMCA. You become a Tyrannosaurus Rex in that middle seat, don't you? Grab your bag of peanuts and rip it open with your big toe to prepare it. People are afraid to fly. You know, it's silly to be afraid to fly. You know the numbers. Statistically, it's safer to be in a plane, right? You know the numbers. Numbers-wise, safer to be in a plane. But don't we all feel better in a car, don't we? You know what it is. You know what it is. You have some input. You have some control over your destiny. That's the big difference. In a car, even in the back seat of a car, at least you can go, hey, turn! Right? What can you do in a plane? Ding. Ding. An engine fell off a plane once. Everybody made it down, but an engine fell off. Can you imagine being in that plane? Look out the window going, oh! Ding! There's a big ding off this wing. Ding, ding. That's a double dinger, darn it. And if you had the middle seat, you couldn't even do that. It's like, You know, a friend of mine spent his entire life trying to find the secret to immortality. Know what his dying words were? No, that's not it. To have three kids, is it a restaurant? What? Three kids at one table for an hour. Impossible, isn't it? What? And that's where you learn to yell at the top of your lungs without the table next to you hearing you. We're not ready yet. Dad, and I had no idea what it was. I swear, I've seen women before, but look, nothing like this, nothing. Girls, when they're born, are very swollen right there. I mean, there was some protuberance. I don't want this doctor. Have you seen it before? I mean, we'll love it. We'll keep it. Don't put it back. We'll keep it away from the circus. Give it to me. I felt awful. My first job as a father, 1 second into fatherhood, identify the sex. I don't know what it is. I have a horrible dad. And I suspect it was the doctor's first delivery. Because he was standing on a table screaming, "It's alive!" All right, that's my show. Thank you very much for joining.
Well, I'm sure you can see why he's one of my personal favorites. He worked the club hundreds of times over the years. Terrific comic, great friend, Milt Abel. I know you enjoyed that. I always do. Hey, we're ready to close this week's show, and I have a treat for you. Comedian Paula Poundstone, who originally came out from Boston in the early 80s, she was the only act in the history of my clubs to work multiple weeks as we helped her develop her material. During that time, she met Gary Shandling, Bob Saget, and several other people. That, in turn, led her to meet Robin Williams, who took her under his wing and taught her the ropes of stand-up comedy. She ended up being one of the best comedians in the business, has done tons of TV, including her own TV specials. I not only enjoy her stand-up comedy, this is live on my stage in 1985. Ladies and gentlemen, the very funny Paula Poundstone.
That's a noise from my telephone answering machine. You know, they give you that beeper so you can activate your messages? Well, I don't have to carry the beeper because I can make the noise myself. Works with people too. I just walk up to them and go, and they go, "Your mom call." My mom calls and hangs up. I have to change my phone number because of my mom. And you tell people not to give your parents your number and they don't believe you. That's one of the problems. I hate my whole fucking family. Ever mentioned that? Just suck right across the board. I hate them so much that it feels good just saying it right to you people when I hardly even know you. Because they are wretched, hideous people. They are. My mom's one of those angry moms who used to get mad at absolutely everything. One time as a kid, I knocked a Flintstones glass off the kitchen table. She said, "Well, damn it, we can't have nice things." She has an emotional range of two things. She's either pissed or she's trying to get you to feel bad for her. Those are her two areas. She told me one time when I was little, she said that this was how she learned how to swim. She said someone took her out in a boat in the middle of a lake and threw her off the boat. And that's how she learned how to swim. I said, "Mom, they weren't trying to teach you to swim." I guess when they shot at her, they're trying to teach you to deflect bullets. She's dense, that's her problem. My parents live in Massachusetts, which is why I live in California. Because there's no more land west of here. If they ever move over so much as one state, I'm getting in a boat and shoving equidistant offshore. Because we need that space to keep us close. they did do a scary thing recently. They bought a Winnebago. Which is so terrifying, because that means they could pull up in front of my house any day now and just live there. I'll tell you what, they're not getting any water and they're not plugging anything in. They should have thought of that a long time ago. I tried to tell them. I said, you guys, I'm starting to hate you. My mom does a weird thing. She calls me up to tell me things that my dad does that make her mad. Have your parents reached this phase? This is the specific purpose of the call. I don't even, first of all, I don't care because I hate them. But second of all, I don't even understand the things that make her mad. She'll call up and say stuff like, I don't know, for example, my dad has a garden in the back. So she'll call up and go, comes in here, that damn zucchini. And I'm waiting for the next sentence. So I'm thinking that can't possibly be it. No, comes in with a zucchini and what? Hits you with it, rubs it on the wall, something. But no, that's actually what she's mad about. Comes in here, that damn zucchini. I try to seem upset just to be supportive. I go, oh! Does he come right in with this? Oh! I got a whole bunch of them like that. Sits in there on that damn couch. Okay, now he's gone too far. Does he sit right on the edge? Oh! I'm afraid to have furniture. Really, I've been using it wrong all these years. My parents have a trampoline in their backyard. There's a true thing. Last time I visited them, I said, I'm going to go out and jump for a minute. And they said, honey, be careful. The trampoline is on a slant. So I said, why is it on a slant? Because this was during a phase when I was trying to understand them. It's over with now. I've kicked that habit. But they said, and they actually said, I swear to you this is true, they said, to discourage the neighborhood kids. I don't have to jump. You have to picture this. If you jump on a flat surface, you go straight up and down. But if it's on a slant, you go off. I went out to jump. There was a pile of dead kids behind the shrubs. I know when I was born, she was 3. I'll never know the embarrassment of being dropped off at school in the Barbie dream car. Not that I could ever have kids. I'm sure it's difficult raising children, you know. I'm sure. Like, she sucked at it particularly, but I'm sure that it is difficult. Do you guys have kids? Not yet? Any minute now? Waiting for, I hope so. You just said no Barbie dream cars. Well, there's an active political movement. Barbie can fucking walk as far as you're concerned. She's gonna keep those plastic legs in shape. Get out of here. Let's all go someplace, all of us all at once. Like a 7-Eleven. Just act like it's a complete coincidence, you're just having a rush. We don't even know each other, we're just looking at some frozen foods. Then one at a time, each go up and buy a Slim Jim. It would really screw up their inventory. Next week on like Saturday night, we go, oh, truckload of Slim Jims be coming in. You better get ready, they were in here last week. Bunch of people and a really hopeful guy. I love 7-Elevens because most of them sell Pop-Tarts. It's become a very important part of my life. I've been on a Pop-Tart binge. 2 weeks ago, I ate 20 boxes of Pop-Tarts in 2 weeks. It's a fact. As far as I can tell, it's a chemical shortage. You know, I think it could be maybe a riboflavin problem. Because that's in there, you know, I read package. I always read before I dine. It says it right on the side. I love how they list the ingredients. They always put the real obvious stuff like sugar, flour, and then they get to a point where they just put parentheses and say may contain one or more of the following. Kind of defeats the purpose of listing the ingredients, doesn't it? Like, may contain, then again, may not. Go ahead, have a little wait and see. And the things I always put in there, it's, what is it, vegetable shortening, animal fat, or lard? And you have no idea which one it's going to be? I think that is so exciting. I always feel like, hope it's lard. And they get to a point, too, and they put the toasting instructions, which can be so helpful. I got Cavalier ones that didn't read. Pop-Tart injury. Honestly, good.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that material from Paula Poundstone. She certainly has an interesting relationship with her parents and Pop-Tarts, right? Anyway, she has her own podcast. Be sure to check it out, the Paula Poundstone podcast. It's out there. Hey, we just had a terrific show with four really funny comedians that all work for me from 1985 all the way through the 90s. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us this week's show, and we want to thank Paula Poundstone, Milt Abel, Jay Johnson, and Peter Fogel for sharing their comedy and material with us over the years. We'll see you next week. We'll have another great show. In fact, next week is an interview show. I know you'll have fun with that. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Stand Up Comedy, your host and MC. For information on the show, merchandise, and our sponsors, or to send comments to Scott, visit our website at www.standupyourhostandmc.com. Look for more episodes soon and enjoy the world of stand-up comedy. Visit a comedy showroom near you.